Ed yanks her back, seizes both her arms. That's it! He starts muscling her toward the door. But she surprises him, shrieking and flinging out her arms, knocking him off. She lurches at me, clutching my wrists. I'm too shocked to even flinch, but adrenaline thumps into my muscles and lungs. I watch her pupils contract, and then Alice is shoving between us, also screaming, "Let her go! You're hurting her!" Erin wails. She sags down into a squat, clinging to my fingers, her big wedding ring digging into my knuckles. I'm panting, gulping air, pulling out of her grasp. Alice shouts, "That's enough! That's enough!" She lets go. Her head is down, hands out. She's saying, "Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Someone comes through the entrance and stops. And instinctively, I'm hoping it's Charlie, come to rescue me. But it's Keller Dusecki, one of the homicide detectives from next door. He looks around in the doorway. "Everything okay here?" Ed says, "It's good, Kel. I got it." I nod at Keller. Erin is still saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." She seems to be getting fainter and fainter, as if turning invisible, the words peeling away from her. She twists the diamond around on her finger. More than anything, I want her to stop saying, "I'm sorry." Just to stop the spiraling voice, I stammer, "Please, I don't know. I'm not sure what..." She sobs once, a raw sound, and my own throat tightens. Her grief has some sort of penumbra, like an aura, and I'm caught in it, in some hidden and corresponding sadness in myself. "Really, I just..." I stop. I can't turn her away. She stares at me. Her eyes look bruised. "I'll never get to see him grow up," she says in her terrible, transparent voice. "I'll never throw a birthday party for him. Never cut his hair. Never meet his girlfriend." As she speaks, her voice begins to toll inside of me. It changes shape, taking on substance, like an old memory, as if she were someone I used to know a long time ago. And for me, that sort of ancient recognition is rare and disturbing as waking to the sight of a ghost. I say, "Jesus, just let me think about it." My voice is trembling. My name is Lena. I work at the lab because they provided training. It said so in the Herald Journal advertisement, Crime Lab Tech 1. 1 year correspondence course through the FBI Fingerprint Classification School, 2 years of part-time junior college, and on-the-job training, filing, and coffee brewing. I work in the Wardell Center for Forensic Sciences, a futuristic rectangle built in 1989, the year before I applied for the job. It houses the Health Department's toxicology lab, the medical examiner's office, the Red Cross Tissue Donation Center, and the city crime labs. Cops right next door. The tiles on the lab floor are a high sheen blue that look like water when the light hits them right. The walls of windows are all tinted a pale, cosmopolitan teal.